Well, the Sadducees come up with some great stories, don't they? I mean, my heart goes out to the youngest brother. There's seven of them. So that must mean there's 15 or 20 years between the youngest and the oldest. And you can see the youngest one, you know, his elder brother who he looks up to, gets married to this lady and then dies. And then the second brother and the third. Well, by the time he's getting to about the fourth brother, he's starting to panic a little bit, isn't he? You know? And as number five goes and then number six, well, he's really on his knees quite a lot because she's an old woman. But let's be fair, you know, there's maybe 20 years difference between him and his brother, and she's married all these different people and killed them all off. I mean, you know, she's an old murderess, isn't she? You know, he's petrified. I mean, he wouldn't want to spend eternity with her in heaven, even if he could. You know. See, they come up with these stories, don't they? And Jesus said, oh, for goodness sake, you know, you've got the wrong idea of heaven. It's not like that. I mean, the trouble is, Jesus didn't actually explain what heaven is like, which I find a little bit annoying, really, because it made my job a lot easier. But he doesn't. He just gives us a little bit of a glimpse. Because even if he did explain heaven, we wouldn't necessarily understand it. I mean, if I got someone in to come and talk to us now about quantum mechanics or, you know, something like that, most of us, our eyes would gloss over and we wouldn't have a clue what they're talking about. You know? What I classify as being better informed but being none the wiser. You know? It's when you... So, what is heaven like? I mean, how do you explain it? I mean, if someone is born deaf, how do you explain to them about music, let alone about language? If someone is born blind, how do you explain the color purple to them as opposed to the color green or yellow? They can't even begin to comprehend what it is you're saying. So why do we want to think that we can actually understand what heaven is like? Oh, will my dog be in heaven? Well, yes, if you want him to be in heaven, it will, you know. I hate dogs. Well, your dog won't be in heaven. That's all right. You know, what is this idea of heaven? Is it a personal little space that I get what I want all around me in some nice little bubble? That sounds a bit more like hell than heaven. Because I'm isolated from everybody. I've got my own little world. And heaven isn't, surely, our own little world. We're part of God's big, glorious, wonderful world. So, the thing is not to try and think what heaven is like. But just think that you want to go there. Because that's the important bit. Because if you don't get there, you're never going to find out what it's like anyway. But if we trust in God... really trust in God, then we're going to be totally amazed and delighted when we find out what heaven is like. I mean, if this is just the starting point, and God creates a billion, billion, billion worlds, he creates a beautiful planet with all sorts of amazing things to see, all sorts of incredible animals that live there, beautiful plants that grow, vistas that are amazing and have taken hundreds of thousands of years to be developed, all for us to enjoy. If God goes to that trouble for something that's no more than a one-night stay in a second-rate motel, what is heaven going to be like? I mean, it is going to be absolutely amazing. I've no idea what it's like. I've not been there. But I trust God that when I do get there, I will really understand it. And I will spend eternity thanking God for it. Because in this world, while we have so many beautiful things, sometimes you can get fed up with them. You know? I'm starting to get to the age now where I'm less keen on traveling than I once was. You know? I've seen many things, and there's not a lot more that I need to see. You know? And that's slightly sad, but I'm a sad old man, so that's fine. But you know, it's that realization that this planet only offers us so much. And it is very limited compared to what heaven is going to be like. I mean, imagine no pain, no worries. You don't need any money. And everyone has all they want and all they need. And there's a great equality. It isn't split between those who have and those who haven't. It's a place of perfect, absolutely perfect, because we are bound up in this relationship between Father, Son, and Spirit. That eternal harmony of love that is so powerful that it generates the whole of the world and the whole of the universe with one simple word. Sorry, a couple of simple words. Let there be light. But just one simple statement is all it needed for us to be here today. That power, that beauty, that majesty is what we're all called to join in. And God only has one request of us. And that is to try and build his kingdom here and now. To prepare people for what they're going to experience. How many of you, bringing up your children, would have said, oh, I'm not going to teach you to read and write. You know, you can work it out yourself later on. You teach your children. You help them to learn these things, to prepare them for what they're going to face in the world. And God asks us to do that in this world at this time. So if the reward is so great and the effort in comparison so little, why don't we do more? Because we're weak and foolish people, just like the Sadducees who spoke to Jesus. We think we know it all, but we know so little. Our relationship with God is not about what's in our tiny little brains. It's about enlarging our hearts to love, because as we learn to give love, so we learn to receive love. And as we learn to love God more, so we appreciate how much more he loves us. And so our task for this week is just to find a few minutes to think about how and why God has chosen you to spend eternity to spend eternity with him. In the place that we don't know, but that we call heaven.